Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q2 FY23 earnings call for Godawari Power & Ispat Limited, hosted by Go India Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Sana Kapoor from Go India Advisors. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Aman. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Godawari Power & Ispat Limited earnings call to discuss the Q2 and H1 FY23 results. We have on the call Mr. Abhishek Agarwal, Executive Director, Mr. Sanjay Bothra, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Dinesh Gandhi, Executive Director. We must remind you that the discussion on today's call may include certain forward-looking statements and must be therefore viewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. May I now request Mr. Dinesh Gandhi to take us through the company's business outlook and financial highlights, subsequent to which we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sana. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us with us on the earnings call today for Godawari Power & Ispat Limited. I trust you have had a look at the revised earnings presentation uploaded on the stock exchange and the company website. You know, the presentation was required to be revised primarily on account of two errors in the presentation. One is relating to the H1 average selling price of the pellets sold, which has been revised. Number two is the capacity of another solar power project which is under construction, which was wrongly mentioned as 38 MW against 25 MW. Capacity continues to remain at 25 MW. I will briefly discuss the result, and then we can have the Q&A session after that. Before I discuss the quarterly performance and H1 performance in detail, I would like to discuss on the few strategic updates. As you are all aware, the State Pollution Control Authorities have granted us the consent to operate for the enhanced pellet capacity from 2.4 million ton to 2.7 million ton. With this, we are revising our guidance for production of iron ore pellet from 2.4 million ton to 2.6 million ton in FY23. For the H1 FY23, GPIL is already 50% of the revised guided targeted capacity and produced about 1.31 million ton of pellet. Our CapEx guidance continues to remain at about 500 crore for the current year. We have already incurred 179 crore in the first half of 2023. The guidance continues to remain same despite imposition of, you know, export duty, and these projects are primarily related to the cost saving and efficiency improvement related. The solar power project will help us improve our cost of power, you know, grid power, which is more than 5.50 rupees per unit. Against that, our generation cost will be hardly at operating level at about 30 basis points-35 basis points. Similarly, the displacement of turbine will improve the power generation at the same operating cost. The CapEx at the mining, you know, would help us beneficiate the ore at the mine and reduce the cost of production for the company. The only project which we have kept on hold is the steel melting shop, where we are still, you know, working on the revised capacity and the products to be manufactured, and after that we will make a suitable announcement in due course of time. Regarding the greenfield steel project which the company had, announced earlier, the status continues to be, you know, we have not yet been able to acquire the land, and the land acquisition is getting delayed, and we have filed for the environmental approval for the project, which is under consideration of the central ministry. Once the environmental approval is, land acquisition is done and environmental approval is received, we will be able to freeze our investment plan and we'll guide the market accordingly in due course of time. Coming on the performance, the market price of iron ore for Q2 FY23 is 4,500, whereas our captive landed iron ore cost is about 3,000 rupees a ton. This shows the competitive advantage of the captive iron ore that GPIL has. In Q2 FY23, GPIL iron ore mining and pellet production has increased by 34% and 17% on a YOY basis. Production of sponge iron, HB-wire, and galvanized fabricated products have also increased on YOY basis. However, production of ferroalloys has reduced primarily because the market for the ferroalloys prices have gone down, and we took this opportunity to do a maintenance shutdown for the ferroalloys plant of Hira Ferroalloys and Alok Ferroalloys. Similarly, as you know, you would have observed our pellet realization has gone down by almost 3,500 rupees a ton as compared to the pellet realization in the Q1 FY23. If you look at our numbers, the fall in profitability is mainly on account of the fall in pellet realization because our cost of production remains same on account of the captive iron ore mining. If you take the impact of the reduction in pellet selling price from about 11,500 to 8,000 something, 3,500 into 550,000 tons of the pellet comes to about 200 crore rupees. To that extent, there is a fall in EBITDA of the company. The fall in pellet realization is all, as you are all aware, is on account of imposition of export duty and simultaneously reduction in the international selling price of iron ore prices, iron ore rates. Now, coming on the financial performance for Q2, consolidated revenue increased to 1,307 crore, up 303% YOY basis, but decreased 22% quarter-on-quarter basis. The main reason for decrease is majorly decrease in the realization of iron ore pellet. The total expenses, you know, looks to be increased by 28% YOY, but actually the expenses are looking higher on account of reduction in the selling price. So top line is higher. Expenses have not increased substantially. Expenses continues to remain at the same level, except the prices of coking coal on YOY basis. The consolidated EBITDA is 231 crore, which is down 50% quarter-on-quarter and 47% YOY basis. The drop, I've already explained the drop in EBITDA is mainly on because of the fall in the prices of the iron ore pellet. Also, consolidated trade from continuing operation attributed to the owner is down 48% sequentially to 168 crore. Now, coming on the market outlook, starting with the international outlook, you know, the iron ore prices have already fallen to about $80 from $158 as on first of April. The demand and consumption of steel and other commodities remain subdued due to, you know, in China, due to COVID and real estate crisis, and in the rest of the world, due to interest rate hike and the energy crisis. Expectation is that in H2 FY23, things will improve due to China's stimulus to support economic growth. However, uncertainty remains due to China's zero-COVID policy. Iron ore prices post-correction are expected to stay in the range of $80-$120 for the rest of the year. Also, import of iron ore pellet of China has reduced 33% in January to September 2022 compared to same period last year because of the sustained crude steel production cut and weak domestic outlook. Coming on the domestic outlook, government has levied export duty on iron ore from 30% to 50%, on pellet from nil to 45%, and steel from, you know, from 0% to 15% in May 2022. This has led to sharp drop in the domestic iron ore prices. NMDC has cut its iron ore prices by approximately 2,000 rupees a ton. Iron ore production in FY23 is estimated to be lower. Pellet prices decreased from 14,000 rupees a ton in April to 7,450 rupees, and is presently trading at about 8,000 rupees a ton. Domestic iron ore prices have likely bottomed out at a much higher level than historical level. The support has come, you know, from the kept cost curve, which has moved up by 1,000-1,500 rupees a ton, post auction of iron ore mine at current iron ore prices. Many domestic mines have become unviable. This, some support has also come from improvement in domestic demand of steel, due to which the increased offtake from the infra project. Going forward, improvement in the prices of iron ore and pellet will depend on the impact of the export duties. However, downside remains largely protected due to the cost curve of iron ore. We can now open the floor for question and answer. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Prashant Kumar Kota from Emkay Global Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, and thanks for the opportunity. And really appreciate the very detailed presentation and the data pack that you gave. It's like one of the best in the sector. So my question is regarding your view on iron ore pricing generally internationally and in India, and to that extent pricing of pellets, assuming the if you remove the government angle aside, just based on the current dynamics, what is your view and how do we see this from here?
So it looks like the international prices at about $80 is almost maybe bottomed out to some extent. If the demand and the China stimulus comes through, then the prices should improve from here on rather than going down from here. You know, the $80 should be the lower prices of the iron ore international market.
Correct, sir. And your view on the domestic side, the pellet side, can we largely say they bottomed out after this government intervention? Steep fall?
Steep fall has already happened in pellet prices. The rest of the steel prices, as you may be aware, in long products, the prices are more or less stable. Maybe 1,000 rupees here and there, the prices are fluctuating, but mostly stable. Iron ore pellet prices have corrected only because of the imposition of export duty and, of course, the reduction in demand in international market. So, you know, both have impacted the iron ore pellet prices, and we believe that iron ore pellet prices at 8,000 and maybe, you know, 5-7% down from here should be stabilized.
Understood, sir. Understood, sir. Sir, my second question is more to do with the social angle, social aspect of what you as a company do, sir. So basically, apart from running a profitable business for the shareholders, we also understand from the, our sources that you do a lot of CSR activities in the mining regions around your mines, sir. It's always very important to do that. Given it's the local community's development, upliftment, etc. So all those activities that you do are still continuing without any...
Yes. Come on, right? You know, I think we had highlighted at some point of time, we continue to transport our entire iron ore from mines to our plant is by the road. We have an opportunity to reduce the cost through by transporting the rubber, but in order to give the employment to the local population who are owning the trucks which are flying between the Godavari power plant and the mines exclusively, they get employment, and of course that has elevated our cost structure by 300 to 400 rupees a ton. But you know, on account of development of the region where you know our mines are located, we are continuing with the road transport. Similarly, we have done lot of CSR activities. I think each and every village, you know, house is pakka now. There's a school facilities, there is a, you know, a hospital facilities, you know, all those facilities are available. The roads in the village are now pakka road. So all those activities are being continuously to be done by the company.
Great, sir. Really great. Really glad to hear that, and fantastic. And wish you all the best.
And as a company, we also believe, you know, it is we are supposed to give it back to the society. That is our responsibility.
Completely agree with you, sir. Fantastic.
Thank you.
Anyone who wish to ask a question at this time, they may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Jyoti Singh from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
So I have three questions. One is, looking at your consol numbers, I guess there are losses in your ferroalloy business. So in this case, how do you look at the demand and supply scenario of this segment, ferroalloy in India? Shall I go ahead with the other two questions?
Yeah.
So second is, as I mentioned, that you will be doing a CapEx as per the plan. Are you confident that you will be able to achieve the guidance of rupees 500 crore? Because in H1, you have done around 180 crore. So please let us know your plans regarding the greenfield steel project. And third is on your coal sourcing mix. So how do you think the coal sourcing mix looks like, and how much coal did you import in your second quarter, and what is the inventory of coal as on date?
Dinesh, let me take these questions. Good morning, ma'am. Yeah, on the first question of ferroalloys, we need to understand India is a big exporter of ferroalloys. You know, whether it's silicon, manganese, ferro, any kind of right. And primarily, our biggest market is Europe, and you all understand because of the energy crisis in Europe, and ferroalloys being quite energy-intensive industry. So a lot of capacities have gone on in terms of steel making. If you understand, you know, I was reading an article yesterday. So ArcelorMittal itself, you know, alone as a group has reduced their production by almost 10 million tons across the Europe, entire Europe. So that is the reason ferroalloys prices have dropped significantly. That is one of the major reasons. And in India, there is an oversupply of ferroalloys. So export is part of, you know, a good mix when you want to balance the entire demand and supply in India. So at the moment, I would see ferroalloy prices will be under pressure for sure, going forward as well.
Okay, that helps. Thank you.
Yeah. On the coal side...
Go ahead.
On the coal side, at the moment, see, I've told earlier this as well, we are importing coal for our DRI operations. We've always been doing that. And we still continue to import. We import from Africa, we import from Australia, and currently we imported from Russia as well. So depending, and as all are aware, currently finally the coal prices are starting cooling down. They've almost cooled by $100 in the last 6 weeks. So we are trying to operate at minimum inventory so that we can, you know, take advantage of the lower prices. And for the power plants, we are sourcing domestic coal. We have linkage from Coal India as well as we buying from the domestic market.
Okay. And what was your coal importing Q2?
In terms of volume or in terms of number?
Both.
Okay. So see, we usually import on monthly basis or, you know, 45 day basis because we want to, you know, go with the market because the market is very volatile. So we imported about 1.5 lakh tons in Q2, and then the average price would be about 18,000 landed to plant.
Okay, and the
capex guidance? Dinesh. Capex is like, as I said, we have done 179 crore in the first half. The major work on the solar power plant, where we have to invest more money, has started after the monsoon. So, you know, except the capex on the steel billet side, everything else is expected to be completed in the current year itself, including the capacity for mining, both the, you know, the solar power plant, 25 megawatt GPL, 60 megawatt Hira ferroalloys, and our replacement of turbine. So these are the main component of the capex, which is remaining capex, and likely to be completed in the current year itself. So entire 500 crore, including 179 crore already done, will be completed in the current year.
Okay.
And if some spillover there, it could be, you know, more than 5-7% of the capex here and there. But largely, we are online.
Okay. That is helpful. Thank you.
And one more point I want to add about the loss in the ferroalloys business is we are holding a lot of inventories of manganese ore, which we had procured at a higher prices. And if same is getting, consumed, so same was consumed during the last quarter and continues to get consumed, and therefore the impact of inventory loss is also there. Is against the, you know, pellet inventory, where we are not impacted because our inventory of pellet was hardly 7-8 days, and iron ore is, the cost is fixed because of the captive iron ore. So the inventory loss is mainly there with us in the ferroalloys business.
Thank you so much, and all the best for you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question this time, they may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Mitul Shah from Reliance Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. Sir, compared to Q2, how has been the trend during this October, November in terms of the demand situation? And also, if you can give some details on the thermal coal price trend in current quarter compared to Q2.
Abhishek, you will take it?
So demand in terms of steel or demand in terms of overall demand or in terms of pellets? I'd like to clarify.
Overall demand and specifically to pellets, sir, as our pellets relatively better quality compared to.
Okay. Got it. Yeah, right. So on the overall demand side, see, the demand has been little on the sluggish side because of the monsoons. Usually, sinistry, the demand is always on the sluggish side because of the monsoon season. And plus, there were a lot of correction because of the import and export duty. So, there were a lot of changes in the, supplier and the buyer side. Everybody was concerned about the prices further going down. So buying was a little skeptical. And with the monsoon over, so November to April is usually the peak period for sinistry. So we're hoping the demand should come back soon. On the pellet side, the demand is very good for us at least, because out of the entire production, we almost produce 65% of high-grade pellets. So at the moment also, we stand an order book of, almost 45 days. So we have order books till the end of December. So for us, on the demand side for pellets, we have no concern at all. We are very much covered for next 45 days, and the inventory levels are quite low in the plant for the pellet side.
So just a clarification, in initial, you highlighted the demand was suppressed. That was for Q2 or for October? Because my question was primarily on October side.
Okay, so that was, I think Dinesh ji mentioned that was for Q2. On the October side, again, I'm saying the demand was still sluggish because of the festival season. As I said, the demand usually picks up post-Diwali, which is November season. But on the pellet side, pellet being another raw material, considered as a raw material, so demand was still there back then, and demand is still there right now also. And as I mentioned, right now, we have order book of 45 days. So on the pellet side, we have no concern at all. Our order book is quite healthy.
And sir, during your discussion with your key major customers, wherein we are seeing that definite slowdown on Europe side and China to some extent, so overall, global demand is under pressure. So what is indication coming from clients, top client side during your discussion for next 6 months to 1 year point of view?
See, as you mentioned, it is very true. There's a global momentum in terms of steel production because of the energy. One is the energy crisis, and second is the inflation, especially, with countries like Europe, they are going through heavy inflation. See, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of big steel companies are reducing their production as per the demand. But eventually, it's about, how competitive you are. And with our own iron ore mining, we see, if somebody has to die, we'll be the last on the list, right? So as I said, we are very much comfortable in terms of demand level because our volumes are not so big. And on the pellet side, we have, been able to tap three, four big buyers in India, which are regularly buying from us. So I don't see any concern going forward as well.
Sir, in terms of thermal coal pricing trend compared to Q2, how has been the situation in your October, November, current quarter?
See, usually what happens, we are usually covered for 2 months, with the inventory that plant, stock, and the material which is in transit. So the impact of the prices which have started cooling down will come in Q4 of this financial year. But at the moment, as I mentioned in the last call also, the prices currently stand at about 18,000 rupees a ton for DRI. And for domestic, the average mix of linkage, that is the domestic purchase, is about 5,500 rupees a ton for my power plant.
And sir, how has been the trend of the prices of this pellet price and steel prices in current quarter?
Post-Diwali, the prices have been quite stable.
Has it stabilized or still continue to decline in November also?
No. So pellet prices are hovering about 8,000 rupees ex-plant Raipur for the specialty pellet, which is being manufactured by everybody else in India. And on the steel side, the prices are about 44,000 rupees. Billet and sponge is about 30,000 rupees. So market has been quite stable post-Diwali. There was a downfall pre-Diwali, but post-Diwali, the market has been stable. And we're hoping with the demand comes back, the prices should go up further.
Do you expect prices upward revision in coming months and Q4, or should stabilize
it? See, it's very difficult to ascertain what prices should go up. But I think, as Dinesh mentioned, we feel the prices have bottomed out to a certain extent. We don't see a much downfall from here. Probably 5-10% here and there, you know, you can't say. But we assume this is a benchmark where prices should not go below this business.
And sir, anything on the hedging, as currency fluctuation is too much this time and we are doing sizable import of the coal and few other things. So,
earlier, you know, it was a natural hedge for us when we were exporting pellets. So, you know, natural, but after the exposure being swapped, so we do a close monitoring on daily basis. We do keep a track of, you know, the dollar fluctuations and all the news, you know, revolving around it. For example, in last 2 days, dollar has come down from almost 82 level to 80.6 levels. So we keep a close track, and depending on the market situation, we keep hedging our import exposures.
So what would be, sir, net exposure right now as a percentage of sales?
Foreign currency exposure.
In terms of import versus export, earlier as sir highlighted that we used to do sizable export, so it was a natural hedging. But now export has come down significantly and import would still remain same. So then what is the parity now? Net?
Our overall exposure in the forex market at consolidated GPIL level will be close to about 700 crores. Total exposure.
700 crores for this FY23 or now?
Yeah, you know, at a time, you know, we, as of now, it is close to about 700 crore of exposure is there.
Okay. Yeah. Sir, lastly, on the capex side, as you highlighted, 500 crores still we are maintaining, and there is no spillover, probably sizable spillover to next year. How one should look at next year's capex? Or majority of capex is being done this year, or it will continue to in similar range next year also?
Next year capex, we will be able to guide it by end of the current, or maybe at the time of the Q1 call. We have to start the work for our greenfield distillery project, but the land acquisition and the environmental approval both are delayed and it's taking time. So once we get the approval, then only we'll be able to guide how much capex we can do it in the particular year upon receipt of that approval. Otherwise, whatever this capex which is currently going on is likely to get completed by the end of the year. So for next year capex, we'll be able to guide in due course of time only.
But any indication directionally would be higher or lower than this current year? May not be the
maybe similar kind of capex in the next year. Close to about 500 crore in a year. It won't go much because, you know, when we get the approval, then we're going to place the orders for equipment, etc. So I don't think in first year it's going to go beyond 500-700 crores. And we will be able to meet the entire capex through our internal accrual.
Sir. Yeah, sir. Thanks. That's all. All the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who wish to ask a question at this time, may please press star and one. The next question is on the line of Vikas Singh from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Vikas.
Yeah. Sir, I just wanted to understand that had the high cost inventory, the entire impact has already been taken by 2Q, or some of the impact would flow into the 3Q, and how the blended price you are expected to move in 3Q?
So most of the, you know, inventory related has already taken, because we had an impact of inventory loss on manganese ore prices only. The rest of the prices are mark to market, and I don't think there is any major inventory losses there in the company. So it is mostly covered in 2Q too.
So the imported thermal coal, which would have come at a higher cost, that is also marked to market by 2Q, and 3Q, we won't see any inflation because of that?
No, we won't see that.
Understood, sir. My second question pertains to our net cash. So if I just do the math, we would have earned some cash during first half, but our net cash position kept on declining. So, barring 179 crore of capex, where the rest of the capex cash has been deployed? Because I don't see much of the inventory creation for us during first half.
No. On net basis, the money has been deployed in capex as well as in the your current assets. If you see, my net current liabilities has gone down by 300 crore, and current asset has gone down by 100 crores only.
In addition to that, there is a dividend payout of
118 crore of dividend, 120 crore of dividend payout.
Understood, sir. And sir, during my first question, I also asked that how the average prices movement you are expecting in C2 versus 2Q in our major products such as pellet and sponge billet. If you could give us some insight into it.
Abhishek, current prices?
Can you come again, please?
So, current average, current prices versus your 2Q average, how they have moved as of now?
On pellet side, the Q2 average was about 8150, and currently we stand about 8200, so it's almost the same level. On the sponge side, the Q2 average was about 33. Currently, the price is standing at about 30,500, so there's a drop of about 2,500 rupees. On billet side, the average is about 47. Currently, the price is standing at 44. So there has been a drop of about 8% on sponge and billet side. Pellets remain the same.
Understood, sir. Sir, one more question regarding the international scrap prices, which have been on a declining trajectory. So does that impact our sponge and the billet prices domestically, or we remain fairly insulated? So what's your take on that?
See, when it comes to domestic industry, scrap prices do not affect so much. But what has happened lately, because of the domestic prices on the scrap and pig iron being high, a lot of people have imported bulk vessels into India for their own consumption as a trading. For example, even Godavari, we import about 50,000 scrap on annual basis. For the first time, we imported a bulk shipment of scrap, which is going to arrive in December, because if you compare your melting cost with a sponge, so scrap melting is much more viable at the current level. So depending on the market situation, it does impact here and there. The impact is not very big, but it is there. You cannot ignore it.
Understood, sir. So just one last question regarding our solar power plant. So right now, if you could give us some idea about the cost savings per unit which you are having on that, and how does that move in couple of quarters down the line?
See, GPIL 70 megawatt has already been commissioned, and we have started duties using the power in our steel melting plant, like the integrated plant at Siltara. There we are buying power from the grid at 5 rupees 50 paisa per unit. Now, so against this, our cost will be, less than 1 rupees 75 paisa, including the grid charges, the power banking charges. So net, there will be more than 3.5 rupees per unit kV. The 25 megawatt power plant, where effective power generation will be about 4.5 megawatt, will be used in our mines. So mines, we are buying power at about 12 rupees per unit. The tariff for the grid tariff in the mines is higher. So that will be again replaced with the power cost of 1.75 rupees from the solar. So the entire saving will flow back to the profitability. So against 12 rupees, you can take 2 rupees as the cost. So 10 rupees saving is expected there. Similarly, in Hira Ferroalloys, because of the very high cost of coal, we are using the power from the grid rather than running the coal-based power plant. Same will also get replaced with the solar power by end of the current financial year. So net in our steel melting and ferroalloys business, we expect a saving of about 3.5 rupees per unit. And in our mines, our saving will be close to about 10 rupees per unit.
Understood, sir. Understood. Thank you for taking my questions, and all the best for future.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Jatin from Invest Savvy. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. To continue with this, thanks for taking the question on the call. On the power saving, you said 70 megawatts and on the other 25 megawatt plant, there will be 4.5 megawatts which will effectively be produced.
Yes.
So well, this is, while in megawatt terms this is fine, but how many megawatts are actually produced? Megawatt hours are actually produced. So, like for a solar power in a month, how many hours and how many days is it operational?
No, no. So just to, you know, clarify, it will be difficult to, you know, answer that very strictly. You can consider a 17% PLF on annual basis. For example, if it's a 70 megawatts solar power, so 70 megawatts into 0.17, so about 12 megawatts will be your generation throughout the year.
So 12 megawatts into 365 into 24.
Exactly. Yes. Into 1000. So basically 12 into 24 into 365 into 1000 means about 10 crore units annually, 10.5 crore units annually. That is how the calculation is done.
So basically you are saving 3.5 to 10 rupees depending. And this 4.5 megawatts is already taking the 25 into 0.15 and converting
yes,
to
4.5? Yes, 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 yeah. Exactly.
Okay. So this will show up in cost saving or it will show up as your...
Cost saving. So as Dinesh actually mentioned, in the mines currently, we are importing power on the grid and then the average bill is about 11.5 rupees per unit, which will come down to about 2 rupees. So we're saving about 19 rupees there. And on the plant side, with 5.5 rupees generation cost on the coal side, it will save about 3.5 rupees. So that was Dinesh mentioned previously.
Even the grid power we are buying from the grid, you know, small quantity of power from grid.
Yes.
Sorry, Chetan, your voice is breaking and we are unable to hear you very clearly.
So this, if I do a rough math, is a saving of about 75 crores a year, based on what you said. So that is obviously a very heavy number. Also, I have a question in terms of your impact of...
Chetan, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but your voice is breaking.
Your voice is crazy, yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Little better, but request you to please come in your network area.
Okay. So if we look at the impact of dollar movement on your business, now is there a connection between the dollar, like the overseas price? You're saying $80 to $120 is what you expect it to trade at. Now, if dollar is moved up, then does that mean that your realization will be better in India?
Export is not allowed, my dear friend. Export is not allowed.
Is there a relationship between the domestic price and the global price?
There is no relationship because in India, pellets are not getting imported.
No. What he means is, if the dollar is moving up, does the domestic price also start moving up? So I would say... not regularly, you know, for some people it might have an impact depending on the product cycle. For example, people who do engineering or, you know, depending on imports, but on a relatively, you know, on a larger scale, it doesn't impact so much. And, you know, right now the global prices of all the commodities or, you know, all the steel, production, you know, the pellets, sponge iron, or, you know, long products, the prices are much, much, much less compared to the Indian domestic market right now. For example, billets right now, FOB Black Sea is about, you know, it's about $490, which is about, 40,000 rupees. And in right now, we're selling billet at 44,000 rupees. So it's only 10% higher. So right now, the impact is not very relative compared to, you know, the dollar movement.
Okay. And historically, do domestic prices trade? So when exports, etc. were allowed, at the moment was happening, was the domestic price at a discount to the global price, or was it par to the global price, or is it below the global price?
See, it all depends on demand and supply. You know, there have been times that domestic prices are much lower compared to the, you know, global side. So people start exporting more. When the domestic prices are stronger than the global, then people start, you know, supplying domestic more and reduce their export volume. So, you know, every company, depending on the market scenario, keeps changing the, you know, the supply industry, the domestic and export market. It's a very volatile market right now, yeah. So, you know, there are a lot of ifs and buts, a lot of, you know, reasons behind it. So, it's difficult to, you know, give a, you know, one particular answer.
Okay. What percentage of your cost is coking coal?
We don't use coking coal because we don't have a blast furnace. We are in DRI route. So, we have pellets, sponge iron, coal-based sponge iron, and then steel making to induction furnace route. So, we only import thermal coal. We don't import coking coal.
Okay, and thermal coal is what percentage of your cost?
It's about 50% of my the total coal I consume in entire operation, thermal import is about 50%.
50% is imported and the rest is
domestic. Linkage.
So and domestic in the total cost, total raw material cost, it could be closer to about 10%.
Okay, so domestic. So the total cost of coal used is 10% of overall cost or 10% of the overall revenue.
Yes.
No, revenue or cost?
Overall cost.
Cost, not the revenue.
Okay. So, thank you. And in terms of your operating margin, as we can see that, you know, because of the factors you've been mentioning, we have seen a big drop in, like, realization and hence the EBITDA has dropped. But from 35%, it came down to almost 17% earlier, like for the quarter, so 28 to 17. Now, do you think it bounces back from here or stays here or goes lower?
That depends on the opening of the market for export and what is the international scenario. Otherwise, the long-term margins are closer to 20%.
I lost the last sentence.
No, long-term margin in our business is close to about 20%. But if an extraordinary situation arises, like, you know, last financial year, then the margin can go up to 35-40%. Last year we did 42% in H1 FY22. So that depends on the demand supply purely. And it's a commodity. So fluctuations are very wide.
Okay, so if you were to hazard a guess, like assuming that exports not open, let's say the next two quarters, in this quarter and the next quarter, then you know, given all that's happening, you expect it to be around what it is or go up marginally or go down marginally?
We expected what it is to be. That is where, you know, 1-2% here and there, but mostly in this range, what we did in Q2.
Okay, won't your power benefit actually kick into this then? Because now...
Not in the current year, you know, the major benefit will kick in the next financial year when the projects get commissioned. Some benefit will come from the, you know, the project which is already commissioned. But then, as I said, 2-3% here and there could always be, you know, fluctuation in the margin. And to that extent, it will get covered in within that.
Megawatt plant, you said that was commissioned in June. So it became operational in June, or it became operational later?
No, it has already become operational. The impact of which will be felt from Q3 because in Q2 we had banked entire power, so it is valued at cost only. So Q2 there will be some impact, but then you have to see some prices have gone down in ferro sponge iron, some prices have gone down in billets. So that impact will also flow back. So on an average, it will be closer to 19-20% margin.
Okay. And the 70 megawatt plant, which was, I think, there from August, is that been commissioned or is it going to commission?
No. It is commissioned and we have started utilizing power from October onwards. For 2 months, the power was banked with the state grid.
Okay. So for basically both the plants, Q3 onwards, full benefit will come in.
Yeah, for 70 megawatts, Q3 onwards will come, and for the rest of project which are under construction, will come with the benefit of which will come in Q1 to FY24.
Thank you. Jatin, may I request you to please join the queue for any follow-up? Thank you. Also, participants, before I take the next question, I'd like to remind the participant to limit a question to 2 per participant. If time permits, you may join the queue for any follow-ups. Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Chintan Mehta from Lloyd LLP. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. So it's regarding the cost of iron ore. In the presentation, you mentioned it's 2,900 rupees quarter on quarter. So I want to understand that this is including royalty. Hadn't the cost should have gone down quarter on quarter considering the fall in the market price of iron ore, and royalty is a function of... to a certain extent, the prices of the iron ore. Don't you think that cost should have fallen by 200-300 rupees, sir?
Just to clarify, you know, what happens in VA, where we are supposed to pay royalty basis the IBM price which has been published. So right now IBM has printed the price of month of July. So there's usually a backlog of 3 months. So right now the royalty is being paid basis the IBM price published in the month of July, and we're sitting in October. So we expect as we move forward and the prices have come down, so there will be a saving on account of royalty.
And what kind of reductions do you foresee, sir, in that price? Because that will get converted into our EBITDA in that, one way or another.
See, the system right now which IBM follows is, you know, they calculate the average of the volume sold in particular state basis the top five miners. Mm-hmm. In Chhattisgarh, there's only one miner which is selling, which is NNBC. So that is the impact of royalty on account of the mechanism IBM is adopting right now. The impact won't be very, very significant. If it had been Odisha, because there are a lot of commercial mining happening, the impact is much more severe. But in Chhattisgarh, the impact will be very minimal. Say, probably in the range of 100-150 rupees maximum.
Yes, sir. And that imparts us more confidence that the price has bottomed out, because NMDC sees kind of, you know, two royalty structure from the mine of Karnataka as well, where it has to pay premium royalty on an overall basis. So you think that NMDC prices have somehow bottomed, and that will be scope, you know, then Raipur as well, or no scope of reduction? That's the that you are thinking?
So I did read an article, you know, which is given by respected chairman of NMDC, and he said that the prices bottom out and we don't see any further correction. So, you know, because the statement, I'm assuming NMDC will not correct the prices further. So we don't expect a much correction in royalty going forward as well.
Super. That's it. That's it from my side. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yogansh Jeswani from Mittal Analytics. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, one question on your restructuring that you are doing. So we had bought in the assets from Alok Ferroroy and Hira Ferroroy. So just going through your group structure, so in Alok Ferroalloy, we own around 79%, and then another 8-9% is owned by Hira Ferroalloy, and 12-13% by Ardent Steel. While Hira Ferroalloy is our subsidiary and Ardent is our associate. So are we further looking to simplify the structure and bring in the remaining stake also from from Ardent and Hira into GPIL directly?
Hira will remain as it is. We don't intend to buy that in GPIL. And Ardent, yes, we intend to buy it at some point of time. We'll do the transfer protection, but we are not in a hurry. That is within the group only.
Okay, got it. And also, Ardent Steel, we continue to maintain this 37-38%. Or
yes.
Do we intend to sell this?
No. We intend to maintain that stake.
Got it.
Just to have presence in Odisha, yeah. We will continue with that.
Got it. One clarification, sir. A lot of has been discussed over your power investments and power costs. So,
sorry, come again?
Yeah, I'm saying a lot has been discussed on your power investments and all the cost-saving that effort that you are taking. So, just one clarification. So, post these solar power plants coming on stream, we'll be roughly 250-plus megawatt power capacity. So will we be self-sufficient, or will we have some access to sell in the market as well?
We will be self-sufficient for our existing operations.
Okay.
Including whatever is capacity under commissioning, will be self-sufficient. For new projects, we will have to look for the, fresh power projects. But for our existing requirement, we don't need any additional power from here on.
So I'm asking a new project, you mean the greenfield, right?
Greenfield, yes. For existing requirement, the power will be self-sufficient.
Got it. So once all these power plants are commissioned, so by next year we can say on an average your per unit power cost will be below 2.5 per unit on an average.
On an average, yes. I think so, yes.
2.5 to 3 rupees, depending on the prices of coal. Yeah.
So overall, simplistically, in terms of margins, I mean, you guys must have done this working. So just to simplify for us, last year, full year, we had spent something around 200 to 20 crores on power. So that should come down to less than 100 crore, right?
No, in fact, the number which you are looking in balance sheet includes the fuel consumed in the pellet plant. So that will not be the correct, working.
Because
we are already running the power plants captively, you know, and the fuel for the power plants is clubbed into the raw material cost. So whatever power we are buying from the grid is classified into the, you know, power and fuel cost, plus the coal charged into the pellet plant is a coal gasification is charged into the power and fuel cost. But yes, you know, our current cost of power is close to about 4 rupees per unit, which will come down to about 2 to 2 rupees or 25 paisa going forward.
Okay, got it. And what is our entire power consumption, sir, in terms of units for this entire operations, the increased operations that we'll be doing in FY23 or FY24?
At full capacity on any given day, the consumption will be about 95 megawatts.
95 minutes. Got it. And sir, one last question on the Kerala. You said you had taken a maintenance shutdown. So in Q3 we will see some impact of it, or in Q3 we will be back to normal?
Q3 we should be back to normal, but normal is now not like last year, because the prices have already fallen from 130,000 rupees to about 80,000 rupees. So production volume will be normal, but the realization and profitability will definitely be, as compared to last year, it will be lower.
No. Just what Adhineet is saying, of course, price is taken care of, but on the volume side, Hira Ferro will be absolutely back to normal, but Alok Ferro, there will be some impact, because still the modification is, revamping is going up, and the revamping will take into effect end of November. So there will be a reduced volume from Alok Ferro, right, this quarter, Q3 as well. From Q4 onwards, we'll be back to normal in terms of volume.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Before we take the next question, I'd like to remind the participants to limit their question to 2 per participant. We have the next question from the line of Aman Madresha from Augmenta Research Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. Sir, can you please throw some light on the domestic market, like post-imposition of your export duty, the pellets are being sold in the domestic market. And generally, you have highlighted in your previous calls also that the higher grade pellets of 63% to 64% don't have much takers in the Indian market. So what has changed, and like, how are these pellets being consumed by the domestic market or the domestic takers? Some highlight on this.
So see, on the pellet side, what has happened is, as you must be aware, as we go ahead, the quality of iron ore in India is going down. You know, Odisha being one of the major suppliers of iron ore fines, which is the basic raw material for pellets. Earlier, the benchmark was 63, now the benchmark is 62. So now the pellets produce, you know, on average basis all over India is about 62.5, which is the high, you know, aluminum silica content, and which is the mass production. In case of Godavari, the advantage we have is, one is the high-grade pellets, where the Fe is about 65, and we produce about 65% of the Jaya charge mix. So our buyers are totally different. You know, players like Tata, GSPL, Uttam Galwa, who are running the blast furnaces. The reason behind using our pellets and paying a premium is because of the high coking coal costs. The coking coal, by the way, still delivered to India are above 300, you know, which gives them an advantage to use the pellets in the charge mix. So that is the prime reason we are still getting a decent premium over and above the other players in the market, because of lower alumina and higher Fe. That is one thing. And on the 63 pellet side, the second advantage we have is, our phosphorus is quite low because of our own iron ore mining, because of which there are few players in the domestic market who specifically want a pellet because of the steel making. Because right now, you know, everybody in India is, you know, moving towards making quality steel. So phosphorus does play an important role. And, the average phosphorus all over India is quite high. So that is the reason, you know, I keep mentioning again and again, when it comes to pellet for Godavari, we don't have any pressure in selling. Rather, we get a premium for and above every unit in the market. For example, our Odisha plant in Ardent, which is based in Odisha, the average selling is about 6,500 rupees ex-plant, whereas Godavari is about 8,000 rupees. So straight away, an additional EBITDA of 15 rupees a ton, which is huge in the volume game.
Okay, that was useful. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Satyan Vadma from Profusion Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Just one question. In the breakup of power, how many units of power do you use in the mining operation for which you pay, you know, 11.5-12 rupees? Just trying to get a sense of what the saving on the mining side will be.
About 5 MW.
Sorry?
5 MW.
5 MW. Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of DB Jalan from KLG Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Looking to the cost saving and better realization of our product pellet and all that, can we safely assume that in quarter three and four, the profitability will be better than quarter two?
Jalan ji, it is very difficult to predict the profitability. But yes, the range would be, you know, somewhere closer to this, but there could be some variation here and there.
No, if the situation maintains the same, that about export and all that.
You know, but some of the other input costs keep fluctuating, so it may not be exactly same, but the, you know, the range would be closer to here only, yeah, at this level only.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Wayne Tamello, as an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So congrats on a good set of results, given the circumstances, and thanks for taking my question. So my first question is, in the previous quarter, you know, since the imposition of the export duties, the fall in realizations for pellets was a lot more than that of sponge iron. So management had guided that we would try to sort of push more volumes on the sponge iron front rather than pellets. But I have seen that we've sold a lot more pellets, whereas sponge iron volumes have slightly come down. So could you throw some light on that?
No, 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 no. You see, we have a pellet capacity of 2.7 million tons and sponge iron capacity of 500,000.5 million tons only. So, you know, we cannot change the mix largely. You know, you can do some arbitrage, but, you know, whatever sponge iron we are producing, we are operating sponge iron plant at 100%. So beyond that, we cannot increase, so the pellet sales will continue, you know, to the extent of 500,000 tons per month, per quarter, that will continue.
Okay, thank you. My second question is, so, you know, on the pellet front, we are doing, you know, 65% of high-grade pellets, and we're selling to bigger players like Tata GSPL, like you mentioned. So, you guys must be aware that Tata Steel has in this quarter, in Q3, they have a pellet plant in Kalinganagar, 6 million tons, I think. So given that scenario, I mean, do you have any outlook on, you know, the demand for our pellets?
Yeah, I'm totally aware about the Tata Steel, you know, commissioning a new pellet plant. But, as I mentioned earlier, the volume which we produce, you know, and volume which the bigger players require, for example, Tata or GSPL or Uttam Verma, so I don't see any change in them. I think we'll continue to do business with all these guys. Because of only the reason is, pellet and coking coal prices are, you know, at these levels, using our pellets will always be beneficial for their, you know, total cost.
Okay, thank you. And one final question is there any update on, you know, we were auctioning, we were bidding for some coal.
Yeah. So we are still trying. Now government has come up with six tranche of coal auction. We are still evaluating, you know, all the options. And as we said earlier, we are still looking to acquire a coal mine, and we will keep continue to work, we will work on that.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ganesh, as an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for the opportunity. So I'm looking at our results in the corresponding quarter 2 years back, Q2 FY 2021. We made a similar EBITDA at that time also, with the similar amount of pellet sales. But the gap between our iron ore cost and the pellet cost then compared to now, we have 1,000 rupees more per ton. So what I'm trying to understand is the profitability, though the gap is 1,000 rupees more, is the profitability the same or similar because of higher input costs? And what are the input costs? Just wanted to understand that.
No, you have to reframe your question. You are trying to ask because our profitability has gone down in the quarter. It is not same as last quarter or the same quarter of last year.
same quarter 2 years back. I'm just trying to think if the input costs have raised drastically.
Yeah, so I got your question. So I'll tell you why. You know, I know side, although we have say 1,000 ton, but you understand on the energy side, because of higher import prices for a DRI and about the thermal prices for a power plant, the input cost side has gone up. So that has neutralized the saving we did on the pellets on the INO side.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
So do we see the same continuing also, because I see the thermal coal prices are still fluctuating in the same way as it was.
They have started cooling down, but in the current market scenario, I think it will continue to do so, because still now also the prices are quite on the higher side. So I think going forward also, everything globally stabilizing in terms of energy, I think we will be impacted by the current market scenario on the energy side.
Got it. Thank you. That's all from my
thank
side.
You. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that would be our last question for today. I now hand the conference back to the management for their closing remarks. Thank you, and over to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining the conference call of Godavari Power and Ispat to discuss Q2 results. We have tried to answer all your questions, but if anything is remaining or somebody has, you can approach our IR team for further clarification if any is required. Thank you very much. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Go India Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.